Welcome to the Walt Weekly Monday Night Live. I am Walter Latham, and I'm joined by Michelle Sweeney McCombs. Before we start, I just wanted to mention that we want to just extend our gratitude for your support and your encouragement. And we want y'all guys to follow. If you have not already followed, we need you to follow. We need you to like, okay, because that's going to keep us going. This is our 133rd episode, all right, since we've been, since our inception. So please follow and like and share, all right, and we will continue with your support. Tonight's show, and I'm going to just ask the questions because I'm curious, all right, what are Masons? I always wondered that. When I was growing up, my grandma used to have a white outfit, and annually she would have that. They would have a parade, and she would say, "Yeah, you know, Booby, that was my nickname. You know, we got our parade, you know, Masonic Lodge parade for the lodge." All right, and I wanted to know, what are Masons? You know, what is their mission? What are they? You know, what do they advocate? What's their agenda? Anyway, what religions are the Masons affiliated with? What exactly are they trying to accomplish? And how do you become a Mason? So on tonight's show, folks, we got a very, very high-ranking official that represents the Masons as our guest. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Michelle for introduction. Okay, go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you, Walter. Good evening, everyone. And thank you to our live audience for joining us on today's Monday Night Live. Please follow the Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking the share button below. The Walt Weekly is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Hair and Skincare. Music, intro, and outro is provided by Uncle Nephew. Our weekly panel members today are Honorable Gene Edwards, Male District Leader out of the Bronx, New York, 79th District. We also have Christopher Sweeney out of New Jersey, retired sanitation, New York sanitation worker, and CEO of Johnny Roof Smokehouse. I'll put all of the information in the chat room. Today we have a special guest, Mr. Kevin P. Wardalley. He earned his master's degree in organizational management from the University of Phoenix and is a proud graduate of Syracuse University, where he earned a degree in political science and economics. He resides in Harlem with his wife, Adeku, excuse me if I didn't pronounce it right, and two children, Emerson and Gianna. In Masonry, Kevin follows his grandfather, Henry Blakely, who was raised in Adelphic Union Lodge number 14 in 1941, and his grandmother, Thirza, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing it correctly, Blakely, who was a past matron of Beacon Light Chapter number 58 and post illustrious commandress of Medina Court number 1, Daughters of Isis. Kevin's Masonic history: he's Grand Treasurer of Prince Hall in New York, elected Grand Lodge Treasurer, MWPHGL of New York since 2018. To current. He has an esteemed resume. It's a lot to talk about, and I will let Mr. Wardalley speak on it himself. Back to you, Walter.
Okay.
Welcome, Kevin. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
All right, Kevin. Let me start by first thanking you. We appreciate your time, and we're honored by your presence. My first question is Freemasons. Are there two types of Masons? You got the Freemasons, and there's another segment of the Masons. There's two types. Are you part of the Freemasons? I think you are, because looking at your achievements and what you've done as part of the Masonic Lodge, you're the Freemason, right?
Yes, sir. Well, first, Walt, I want to say thank you to you, to Michelle, and to Honorable Gene Edwards for the invite to be here tonight. I truly appreciate the opportunity to talk about something I find very important to me, to my community, and to us as a people, and that is Prince Hall Freemasonry. And I am a Freemason. I was raised in Adelphic Union Lodge number 14 of the most worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the state of New York, over which Walter C. King Jr., at present Grand Master, preside. So yes, I am a Freemason. And what does that mean? That means I belong to the oldest fraternity in the history of the world. Freemasonry dates back in this current form as far back as 1717 to taverns and lodge rooms in England. And now we have Masons all around the world. I mean, I could go on, but I'll let you ask as many questions as you want, and I'll suss out everything as you go.
You have a RW in front of your name. I just want to back up a little bit.
Yes, sir.
What does that stand for?
That stands for Right Worshipful. My title in the lodge is Right Worshipful. And what that means is that, well, in order to be a Right Worshipful in a lodge, it means, one, that I served as Worshipful Master over my lodge, or President over my local lodge. So in 2011, I was the Worshipful Master of Adelphic Union Lodge number 14. And then after that point, after serving as Master, I was either appointed or elected to a Grand Lodge officer, which means I represented my Grand Lodge across the state of New York. In 2012, I was elected to the trustee board for the state of New York for Prince Hall Masonry, and that made me a Right Worshipful. And I've continued in elected positions since 2012, and I currently serve as the Grand Treasurer for the Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the state of New York. And I was also Grand Librarian, and I've served in other appointed positions. So Right Worshipful is my title, is my official title inside the lodge. But the title that matters most to me is Brother.
All right. Prince Hall. Now, I was reading a little bit about Prince Hall. He's born in the 1700s, died in the early 1800s, and he was an abolitionist.
He was an abolitionist. He was an educator. He was perhaps the first civil rights leader that we have on record for our country. He was also a businessman, an entrepreneur, and he was a leader of true hindsight and vision. You got to look at the time in which he came to prominence in the Massachusetts area in the 1770s, and he wanted to bring freedom and justice and equality and civil rights to his people at a time when, shoot, it was barely legal for us to even have jobs or read. And he stood out as a leader of his community at that time. Uh-huh. When he did not find the education system sufficient for his people, he opened a school in his home, and he hired teachers from Harvard University and others to teach African-American children so that their education would not fall that far behind those other students at that time. Also, what he saw in Masonry and why he chose Masonry is he saw that many of the prominent people in the Massachusetts area who were doing great things on behalf of the citizens of Massachusetts and people throughout were Masons. And as he found more and more out about these individuals, he knew that Masonry could be a vehicle that could unite him with others who wanted to do great things on behalf for his people. And he sought to join various lodges in the Boston area, two lodges in the Boston area, and was denied membership. He then sought out a military lodge, Irish Military Lodge 441, and they made him and 14 others, they brought them into the Masonic fraternity. And he used Masonry as a tool to educate and to empower.
I have a quick question.
Absolutely.
Masonry was started in England and went to North America, Jamaica, throughout the world. At one point, it was African Americans weren't allowed into Freemason. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the Freemasonry in the Americas, because there were African Americans, there were people, African people, who were being made Masons in Europe, mm-hmm. who were being made Masons in other parts of the world, even before Prince Hall. So he wasn't the first Black Mason. which is sometimes stated inaccurately. There were other Black Masons who were made in other parts of the world. What he did was bring Masonry to African Americans here and created the first lodge of African Americans in this country. So Masons here were not, they could not run away from the racism that prevailed in this country. So there were times, so Prince Hall himself was denied the mainstream, quote unquote, lodges that existed in Massachusetts and had to go the military route to gain access to a Masonic lodge. So yes, you know, nobody could run from that. But he found a way around it and found those who are like mind, who believe in his vision, and still made him and many African Americans Masons.
Okay. One of his visions included going back to Africa movement. He endorsed that move.
Well, he endorsed the Back to Africa movement for those who thought they should go that route. He endorsed African Americans becoming a part of the military. He was a strong military man. He endorsed African Americans becoming entrepreneurs. What he wanted was for our people to be the best in any areas that they sought. For some, he thought going back to Africa was the right move. For some, he thought building here was the right move. But he knew that education, faith, and the use of the fraternity as a uniting and charitable arm was going to be key. And that's where he started.
Okay. Did I ask you what 33 degrees means? That's a suffix to your name.
Well, that is I'm a 33rd degree Mason, meaning that I was given that great honor for service that I performed on behalf of the craft over an extended period of time. The 33rd degree is an honorary degree given to those Masons who exhibit a great love for the craft and who have done some great service, and their peers decide to honor them with that designation. So it was it was one of the great honors of my life that I got to go to Chicago in 2015 and be exalted with my classmates and receive my 33rd degree of an ancient accepted Scottish Rite Mason.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned that, you know, you can open a lodge here, you can open a lodge there. I know there's process, procedure, and requirements associated with opening a lodge. I know that. But would you look at the Freemasons in this country as just one unit and just have these different lodges throughout the United States? Is there a hierarchy that they report up to?
Well, Freemasonry is universal, meaning that Freemasonry is all around the world. But in most places, you'll find two regular and recognized bodies in every state. And I'll give you a perfect example. Here in New York, there is only two lodges that are recognized and regular. There is the Grand Lodge of the State of New York, which is predominantly white, and what at one point was called the mainstream Grand Lodge. That was majority Caucasian, and that's their main office is down on 23rd Street. And they have lodges throughout the city and throughout the state. And then you would have the Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the State of New York, which is predominantly African-American and Latino, although we have some white members, and they have many members of color. And that headquarters is on 454 West 155th Street in Harlem. And we, too, have buildings throughout the city and throughout the state. Now, the reason why they are two different tracks is primarily because of what Michelle mentioned earlier, because of the racism that prevailed back in the 1700s when Masonry came and got a foothold in America. African Americans went on one track, and the majority of Caucasians went on another track. And so in each state, you will find a Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the State of New Jersey. You'll find a Grand Lodge of the State of New Jersey. You'll find a Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the State of Pennsylvania. You'll find a Grand Lodge of the State of Pennsylvania. Now, except in all but four states, we have recognition, we have visitation, and we work together in many ways, but we're not the same. Meaning that we believe in the same principles of Masonry, we practice the same rituals, and we work together. But our tradition, Prince Hall Masonry, is based in the tradition, the beliefs, the history, and struggles of African-American people in this country, following the model, the example, the history, and the civil rights struggle as laid down to us by Prince Hall, by Thurgood Marshall, by A. Philip Randolph, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we hold on to our uniqueness as Prince Hall Masons in this country and around the world, because we have lodges in Liberia, we have lodges in South America, we have lodges in Europe, we have lodges in Africa, throughout Africa. But we are in partnership and in brotherhood with our Grand Lodge, Mason Brothers of predominantly the Caucasian persuasion.
Okay. So in essence, you could have different mandates. I think the question I'm trying to ask is, there is a commonality, but within that lodge, there may be some
uniqueness. There's a great commonality. Yes. I mean, there are cultural uniquenesses to each lodge. Lodges over the course of time and hundreds of years, there were lodges that were founded based on seamen. There were men who worked the sea and took boats here to New York City. Many of them joined a lodge down on 23 called Mariner's Lodge, right? There's a lodge of Prince Hall Masons who were primarily sanitation workers, right? That ended up becoming Beacon Light 76. Now the majority of the members today are not sanitation workers, but when the lodge was started 100 years ago, that's primarily what the members were, right? There's a lodge, Abercorn 86, was primarily cops, correction officers, members of law enforcement, right? Honorable Chief Joseph Leek, who formerly headed the housing police, is a member of that lodge, right? Many of the other members of that lodge are former police officers who retired, right? So my lodge itself had many dentists and foot doctors in my lodge over the years, right? Now, I don't think we have one at all today. I think we still have a foot doctor, one of my past my foot doctor. We don't have any more dentists. The brother, Pat Couple-Joel, has passed away.
But I just want to do the blueprint for living to your potential for Freemasonry. It means Freemasonry is an individual journey towards becoming a better father, husband, friend, citizen, and man, supported by other men at different points on the same journey. For centuries, the Masonic Lodge itself has been the launch pad for Masonic education and a common ground for brethren of different backgrounds to meet and exchange ideas, providing support and offer friendships. Masons live by the principles of brotherly love, relief, and truth. Brotherly love, caring for each other and our communities. Relief, humbly assist those in distress. Truth, using knowledge and understanding to improve ourselves, our families, and our communities. So this is the history of Masonry. So do you guys add to that, or you still just follow how it started?
Well, I mean, I think we stick to the basic principles, but we're always adding.
Right.
I think it's living history, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at Masonry just here in New York State, you look at some of the greatest leaders that we've had in New York State. You look at A. Philip Randolph,
yes,
who was a member of Joppa Lodge number 55, and created one of the first black labor union in this country, and also the March on Jobs and Justice, where everyone knows the Dr. King game, the "I Have a Dream" speech, was actually A. Philip Randolph's march for jobs and justice.
Right.
Right. When you look at Sugar Ray Robinson, one of the most prolific fighters in the history of this country, who had a record of 175 wins and 19 losses, he was also a diehard Prince Hall Mason, who held job fairs right in our Grand East Temple on 155th Street, trying to give jobs to our community, right? So Thurgood Marshall, who was a life, in fact, his official photo of being a justice of the Supreme Court, he's wearing his 33rd degree Masonic ring in that official photo. Right. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. And as much as I don't want to bore you all, but this is something that and not just New York. Right. You talk about Richard Pryor, one of the most prolific comedians of our time, was a member of a lodge in Peoria where he was raised. And even though he left Peoria and moved to Los Angeles, he continued to give money to that lodge up until almost a year before he passed away. Right. So these relationships that are built in Masonry are so deep and profound that they go with you until the end of your life and hopefully beyond. Right. To your kids and to your wives and to your spouses, etc.
I was trying to find my dad was a Mason early 70s. And I have a photo of him that I was trying to find before the show, but I completely forgot. But he wasn't in it long.
Gotcha.
He wasn't in it long because they had rules. Everything is different. Everybody's experience is different. But he said one of the Masons flirted with my mom, so he got mad and quit.
Well,
but
we have very strong rules against that.
Mm-hmm.
And what your father should have done, mm-hmm. I would rather, and I hope any Mason would do the same, is we have very strict rules that we enforce upon ourselves.
Right.
And if a man acts out of way, first of all, he should never have done that because he should have looked at your father's wife as his sister.
Right, right.
As his family. Because when you join a Masonic lodge, you become a member of, it's actually in the ritual that we teach the brothers. You become a part of my family, right? I have to feel safe with you in my home. Right. I have to feel safe with you with my wife, with my children, mm-hmm. right? And many Masons, we're executive for each other's estates, right? We're our mm-hmm. closest friends. We sign off on each other's wills. And so the trust there, mm-hmm. what we share is so profound that what your father should have done is he should have brought charges against that man. Because mm-hmm. we have a process where when people violate the oaths and the obligations we give them, we hold them right. to higher account, as we right. should. Right. Because this doesn't have meaning if we don't hold ourselves to some standard.
Okay.
So there's and also, I personally have been involved in processes
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I mean, I still have a lot of his photos from then. I'm not sure if one of my brothers has his ring. It was a ring. But also, there's a myth. You know, I'm sorry, Walter. There's a myth people would say it's a cult. So have you ever heard that? Like, can you explain that? Because I know,
absolutely have.
Yeah.
People, when things are selective and people don't know why something is the way it is, oftentimes they'll call it a cult, right? Call it a secret society, right?
Right.
Which always makes me laugh, right? Because you could, you know all of our buildings because we have a big square and compass on the door, right?
Right.
If we are such a secret society, why are we in the yellow pages? Or why do we have a website? Or why can you see mm-hmm. Prince Hall Grand Lodge on the front of the building, of all our buildings? And we have 16 in the state. There's no secret. We are a society with secrets, but those secrets we use just to identify and acknowledge one another in public. And at times of need, we're not taking over the world. The only thing we're doing is taking good men and making them better men.
Right.
And providing the tools and support that brothers need to be a bit better tomorrow than they are today. That's the only secret. There's no evilness here. There's no cultness mm-hmm. here. Men are free to come and go as they want. But it is a selective process. And so when things are selective and things are for members only, sometimes it can be maligned.
I got two questions for you, Kevin. All right. Over the top.
Yes, sir.
One. Are y'all guys still, by gender? You know, you have the women's group and you have the men's group. Or do y'all guys interact now? Or is it still separated?
Well, we have two different branches. To become a Prince Hall Mason is for men, right? But we have an organization for our sisters, our wives, widows, mothers, daughters, and others called the Order of the Eastern Star. Now, there are unique things that women experience around being mothers, daughters, wives, widows, and sisters that are unique to women. And no man can truly, no man can be an Eastern Star because he can't be a wife. He can't be a widow. He can't be a mother, a daughter, or a sister. And women, and every woman, including our friend Michelle here, can testify to that, right? And the same thing when it comes to Masonry. There are things that are unique to being a man that a man experiences that he needs to share with other men. There are unique ways a man deals with the world that he has to take refuge amongst other men for him to have that experience, for him to feel comfortable to discuss that in that way. So it's not separation per se, but certain things are just for certain people, right? It's not discrimination. Rather, we're building each other up so that we can be better for each other in the long run. But sometimes we got to work on ourselves, right? So sometimes we can't do that together. Sometimes we got to work on each other separately so that we can be stronger together.
So as far as being a member, you guys have 3 degrees that they have to go through. Do you have the same thing for Eastern Stars?
They have a different set of degrees, but yes, they have their own set of degrees that they go through that are all about that process of becoming better mothers, better wives, better sisters, better daughters, and better sisters. Mm-hmm. So they have that. They have a separate process that they put women through to help bring out that, to help build on that, to help foster those beliefs to that are grounded in the ritual and the things that they teach to help them. It's slightly different. We have three core degrees. The sisters have 3 degrees, but it's a slightly different. There's a slightly different process.
So for our audience that's listening, you know, I know there's members of the Prince Hall and some of your brothers on here and sisters on here as well. What is the process for the 3 degrees? Do you need someone to refer you to become?
Absolutely.
Can you explain to the audience how to do that?
Absolutely. One of the things that brothers and people have seen is we often put up things that say, to be one, ask one. And in order to become a Prince Hall Freemason, you have to ask a Prince Hall Freemason. You have to reach out to one. They can't ask you. If someone asks you, do you want to be a Mason? Then that's not that, and that's a show for another day, but that's not regular or recognized Mason. Okay. That's what we would call clandestine Masonry or bogus Mason. You have to ask. And so the first thing is asking, right? And then once you ask someone who's a Prince Hall Mason or you ask someone to come into the lodge, then they will provide you some information about the lodge to make sure that it's a good fit. Right. And then they'll give you, after they consider that you'd be a good candidate, they'll give you what they call a petition for membership. And you'll fill that out. And it's some questions. It asks you about your belief in a higher power. It asks you what you do for a living, how many kids you have, are you married, et cetera, et cetera. You'll hand in that petition back to that individual. They will take that back to the lodge, and the lodge will send an investigation committee to your home. Between 2 and 4 brothers will come to your home. Sit down with you, if you're married, sit down with you and your wife, ask you a series of questions face to face, talk with you about the lodge, tell you about what the lodge expects from you, allow you to answer any questions that they may have. Also, talk to your wife separately and let your wife know what kinds of things you may be asked to do as a member and make sure that she feels comfortable with it as well. Because if your wife isn't comfortable with you joining, you're not going to be a good member. You're not going to be an active member if your wife doesn't want you to be a member. And all things begin with a belief in a higher power. If you don't believe in God or you don't believe in who a higher power, you can't be a Mason. Masons do not, there are no Masons who have no belief. You have to have a belief in a higher power. Regardless of what religion you choose, whether it's being Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Protestant, whatever you may choose, you just have to have a belief in a higher power. And so it begins there. Because if you say you have a belief or you don't have any belief, the interview is over and you cannot become a member. So once that investigation committee meets with you and your family, they come back to the lodge again and they tell the lodge the results of their investigation. And then they tell the lodge that they believe, 1, you'd be a good member, or 2, no, you're not. If they don't believe you'd be a good member, they return you your petition fee, they thank you, and you go about your business. If they do find you worthy, then they'll give you a chance to come, and you'll come on the day that they tell you to come, and you'll receive that first degree. Then you'll go through a process of learning some material, proving to the brothers that you deserve to continue to move on, and you'll get a second degree, et cetera, until you get your third degree, and then you're accepted as a Master Mason. But it's a process.
Yeah,
it takes several months. Mm-hmm. It takes several months, and it takes some work on the petitioner's part.
Are there dues or membership fees on a yearly basis?
There are. Every lodge has slightly different dues, but there are yearly dues that you pay both to your lodge and to the Grand Lodge of your state that allows those entities to, you know, provide the service and charity and continue to exist on a day-to-day basis.
Right. I know, you know, within the Masonry, you all are very active in the community. Is it towards the community, the surrounding, or for the community of the fraternity?
It starts, all charity starts at home, right? Yes. I mean, you have to make sure, you have to be a place where your members can be helped. But we are our institutions, our lodges are right in the heart of African-American communities all across this state and all across this country. And so we provide, whether it's a food bank, which we provide twice a month out of our main temple on 150 Fifth Street, or if it's toys at Christmas time. We've been a hub for COVID shots, COVID testing. There's so many community service projects that we've done over the years. For the last 50 years, we've done Thanksgiving feedings and Christmas feedings from the temple and various temples throughout the state. When COVID happened, our lodges were giving out PPE, masks. They were giving out hand sanitizer. They were delivering food to hospitals. They were providing, clothes to those that needed it. I mean, we have always been a reflection of the need of our community at the time in which their needs exist, whether that's food, whether that's clothing, whether that's PPE or COVID shots.
Awesome. I'll digress. Walter, you can take it back.
No, you didn't digress. So, those were the questions I had on my list.
Okay, so let me get another one in. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm just so interested in this. So anyway, I want to talk about COVID. I know a lot of, when we had the pandemic and the shutdown, I know you just said that you were helping people in the community. How did COVID impact, the pandemic impact your lodge?
Well, the COVID was tough for all institutions in our community. We had to learn to pivot. We are an in-person institution. We meet in person. Our lodge meetings are in person. Our Eastern Star meetings are in person. And COVID made us work towards it. Like every place else, we learned how to use Zoom. We learned how to use webinars. We learned the importance of checking in on people on a more consistent basis. We learned about more information about mental health. Whereas it was something that was always there, we learned a lot of our folks, this is their social outlet. And when you didn't have a social outlet any longer, this, without Masonry, without Eastern Starism, some of our folks became very depressed. And we had to learn as an institution how important it was to reach out. Very early on during the pandemic, I think we held a prayer vigil at our temple with the 30th precinct, and we brought out a couple hundred members just to bring our members together. And then we did small social distance events just to keep our membership, especially our older membership, engaged and made sure that they were checked in on. We provided meals for those that could not get out as much as they needed to get out or wanted to get out because of what was going on. And of course, we had brothers that delivered hand sanitizer and Lysol cans to folks' home during the heart of the pandemic. But COVID was difficult. We lost many, many, many members. I don't know the exact number, but I know for a fact we lost over 100 members throughout the course of this pandemic, brothers and sisters. And some of them were institutions, past Grandmaster Johnny Joyner and past Master Kevin Spearman. We lost so many good brothers through the course of this horrible pandemic across this great state.
Right.
That happened to all our churches, and that happened to our civil rights institutions. I mean, we're all going to be suffering from what COVID has done to our community for a long time, and we're not exempt from that.
And I don't think it's finished.
All right, Kevin, I want to switch over a little bit to the political. All right. I mean, do y'all guys openly endorse or any political, do you have any political affiliations, i.e. Democrat, Republican?
Well, as an organization of primarily people of color, we tend to be more Democrat. But as an organization, we do not endorse. But we have done political work, meaning in 2020, during that most important election, we put together buses to go down to Philadelphia along with 100 black men and the AME church to do voter protection, where our folks were covering poll sites and making sure that folks were not, were not being scared away from voting. We also put together food, snacks, and water to take to all the poll sites so that our folks would not give up waiting on those long lines. We wanted our folks to stay in line and keep waiting their turn so they could vote in this very important election. So we gave them water with little stickers in compliments of the Prince Hall Grand Lodge, snacks, a chair if they needed to sit down for a little while. We did that at the 25 highest voting poll sites in Upper Manhattan. And we did it in other parts of the state as well. So we've been, and then you got to remember, we've got a lot of Prince Hall Masons who are actual elected officials throughout the state. The mayor of the city of Buffalo, the second largest black city in the state, Byron Brown, is a Prince Hall Mason. You got to look at Percy Sutton, Prince Hall Mason, Charles Rangel, David Dinkins. You know, the first black mayor of a city in New York, although everyone thinks is David Dinkins, was actually Ronald Smallwood up in Mount Vernon, who was a member of Progressive Lodge number 64. So the closeness of masonry, Adam Clayton Powell from Boyer Lodge, number one, Adam Clayton Powell, Calvin, Abyssinian Baptist Church. I don't know why I can't think of his last name right now. Reverend Butts. I mean, we have a strong history of being involved. Primarily, it has been with Democratic politics, but there have also been some Republican. Randy Daniels, who was a Republican under the Pataki administration and was the Secretary of State, was also a Prince Hall Mason. So we've been across those lines, and we've been involved not so much on either the Republican or Democratic side, but more on the all our folks must vote and how important it is to vote and how important that vote is to be protected, honored, and respected has been a role of Prince Hall Mason.
So I can conclude, based on what you said, that y'all guys don't line up behind any particular candidate. You just want people to exercise their constitutional right and vote, right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Now.
Okay, hold on. So I just got left out of the argument. Thanks, pal.
You thank Michelle,
you know
not me.
Sooner or later, but I had to get my comments in. Yeah, bro.
No. I'm talking to Kevin. He left me out. Thanks, pal. Love you too.
I'm sorry, brother. District leader, also Prince Hall Mason, and I'm a former district leader myself, mm-hmm. from the 70th and 30th district. So yes, look, do we support candidates who are quality, who do great work, who serve our community, who fight on behalf of great causes like Gene Anthony Edwards Jr.? Absolutely. But as a 501c, we don't necessarily make official endorsements, but what we do is support those individuals who are doing great work like Gene in the South Bronx community, because we want them to continue to serve and to continue to serve on even higher levels, because what that does is that sends a message to the world that Prince Hall Masonry is not only everywhere, but that's an integral part of their very lives and their very existence, and that Masons have value beyond their even thought or recollection. So we want people like Gene Edwards to succeed and thrive, and that's why lots of Masons are helpful to him and will continue to be such, even though we can't officially endorse as an institution.
And you know what? And just to piggyback off of what Kevin was saying about so many, you know, Prince Hall Masons in leadership and politics. You know, one of the first things I did when I took office is I began to promote and invoke what Michelle, what you were talking about earlier, your opening question about brotherly love, relief, and truth, and that kind of stuff. That's what I used to galvanize the district, because there were old community leaders that had old beef. And when I asked them about the beef, it was so old, they forgot why they stopped talking to each other. So I would invoke those tenets of Freemasonry, and I use that to galvanize the district. And because of that, now the 79th is one of the darlings in the Bronx because of its prosperity. And it's all due to the philosophies of Freemasonry that I use. I tell people all the time, I am not a genius. I'm just educated the right way. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And through his hard work, Gene is not, Gene doesn't tell the whole truth there. That's what hardest working man in show business.
Oh, yeah,
You can't let a week go by and he's not feeding someone, he's not clothing someone, some child doesn't have a toy that they didn't have. And that was before he was a district leader. When he was the worship master of our lodge, we began taking toys to domestic violence shelters. We began collecting toys for needs And that was then, right? We began collecting food and giving out food to another brother in the lodge who was also very passionate about food pantries. And that was when he was president and worship master of our lodge. So before his service as a district leader, he was finding ways to use masonry and his own experiences to serve this community. So that's not new to him.
Right. I could vouch for one thing. I've attended some events due to Brother Lawrence Johnson being at the lodge with Gene during the school year. Well, summertime, they would have a huge party. It'd be like a yes. 2-day event or a weekend event, a cigar party to raise money yeah. funding. And then the Saturday, they'd have a big barbecue and then they would collect school supplies for children. So I've attended a few of them, and I must say that you guys have
and Brother Lawrence amazing Johnson events. Is another fantastic example.
Yeah.
I mean, he got us to sponsor a football team
right.
In Southeast Queens that he was sponsoring. You know, we helped
yep,
pay for
the
some
rifles.
Uniforms. And,
mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And we also sponsored some cheerleaders when they went to, they got national recognition. There you go.
Yes.
And the lodge gave money and has continued to whenever he asks or whenever he lets us know that the need is there. We actually met with some of the parents. The worship master went out there and met with some of the parents, you know, just to let them know that the lodge was in support
yes.
of their efforts, that we weren't just a check. Mm-hmm. And that's another great brother who believes
he sure
in
is.
Service and lives it every day.
And by the way, I used to do the flyers for him.
Oh, nice. Small world.
Yeah, that's how we met Gene.
Small world.
So, you know, good people. Definitely. So, Walter. Next question.
Yes, I'm here.
I keep throwing
okay.
it off, right?
No. I want y'all guys to do what you do. Kevin, why would I want to be a Freemason?
Well, I
need
to
circle
to
back.
I understand. A person to me would want to be a Freemason because Freemasonry is a way of life that gives them tools and support to be a little bit better tomorrow than they are today. Freemasonry gives you access to those people who would, if not for Freemasonry, would have stayed at a perpetual distance, right? It gives you new relationships, right? It gives you a higher calling, a connection to a higher calling, right? It gives you a connection to individuals like yourself who want to be of service to our community, but know that as we work together, we get more accomplished. Freemasonry also teaches you in a time-honored tradition, the rituals and history of our people through a process that's older than any of us can remember, right? Prince Hall Masonry gives you a connection because it's the oldest organization amongst people of color in this country. If you look at organizations in this country and you go as far back as Prince Hall Masonry from 1775, 1778, there is no organization amongst people of color that is older than Prince Hall Masonry. The closest to it is the AME Church of itself in 1816, right? Everything else comes after it, whether it's Black Letter Fraternities and Sororities in the 1900s, whether it's NAACP in 1909, whether it's CORE in 1942, whether it's even the Black Elks, which come in the 1800s. All of them come after Prince Hall Freemasonry as a powerful force in our community. So you want to be a part of something that will help you be better, that will introduce you to those you never met before who believe in a stronger and better community just like you, that goes back to the beginning of your people in this country and has a positive effect. You want to be a part of something that W.E.B. Du Bois was. You want to be a part of something that A. Philip Randolph was. Or if you want to be a part of something that Congressman Rangel was, that Percy Sutton was, right? Or Reverend Barber, who leads the march on with jobs and justice right now, Reverend Barber is a part of, or something that John Lewis, Congressman Lewis, who just passed away at a Masonic funeral right in the rotunda of the Capitol building, where both the Grand Lodge and the Prince Orgar Lodge came together to give him Masonic rites live on CNN. So if you want to be a part of something that's bigger, older, more important and has the tools and support you need, that's why you want to be a Freemason. Because it's a calling. It's a sacred trust given to us by our grandparents, and we hold it and hopefully make it better and pass it down to our children. That's why
Amen.
I believe you want to be a part.
Amen. I just want to correct something on there. It's actually before 1700s. It's medieval times that has been in existence. They just documented it from England.
In this format, in this kind of way, 1717. But yes, right. Masonry itself goes back farther than that. But similar to this system of lodges and 3 degrees and brotherhood relief, that dates back to 1717, the United Grand Lodge.
Right, right. So I definitely want to tap more on you. You're also a published Masonic author. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I've been honored to be a member of the Phylaxis Society, amongst other associations, which is a Black research society where we write about and share stories and histories about Prince Hall Masonry and important Masons who have changed the world. And so I was asked to write a chapter of a book called The Greatest Prince Hall Masons of the 20th Century. And I wrote a large chapter on past Grandmaster Louis Fair, who was a past master of my lodge and was one of the most important Masonic figures of the last 200 years. I've also written the forwards to several books. I've been published 27 times on topics relating to Masonry in various institutions. The Amsterdam News, the Working Tools Magazine, Philately Society, Phylaxis Society, the Prince Hall Sentinel, Harlem News, Harlem World.
You also have a web show as well, right?
We did have a web show. We did have a web show for a while. I was also honored to be a guest of the Prince Hall Think Tank, which you can look up on YouTube, which is a fantastic monthly show of Prince Hall thought leaders across the world, where we talk about important topics and they bring in special guests to talk about subject experts. And I was a guest on that show several times. I was a guest of Dr. Roscoe C. Brown, God bless his soul, talking about politics and Masonry. I was a guest on New York One many times about politics and a few times about Masonry. So, you know, I've been blessed to be able to write and talk about this very important topic. I was also a guest of Dr. Bob Lee, specifically about Prince Hall Masonry. He has a show on Bronx 12 and also on the internet, and he asked me to be a guest last year. So I've been blessed to talk about this a few times.
Right. You have an amazing career in this, like your whole life is in Masonry. Incredible,
well,
incredible resume.
I've been blessed.
Yeah.
I do have a question that I didn't have written down, but Masonry, do y'all guys actually do Masonry? Not now. I'm talking about in the past. Like they say, the Capitol building was the construction was controlled by the Masons and et cetera. Is that something that, you know, is just out there? Or is that?
Well, Freemasonry there are two sides of Masonry, right? There's the operative art, right? Those are folks who actually laid bricks, right?
Right.
And then there's what we call the speculative art. And speculative is using the tools of the operative art for a more spiritual and esoteric purpose. So we have more doctors and lawyers in Freemasonry, then they don't know how to do the Masonry part per se. But do we have Masons, operative Masons as part of Masonry? Absolutely. We have many brothers who actually do that work. Brothers in my own lodge who work in construction, who are fantastic artisans on that side. And then you have people like me who's book smart and can draw a circle. So Freemasonry uses the speculative. Operative is much more background.
Oh, okay. Because as you said, when you have a closed group of people, then you got these conspiracy theories that originate that y'all guys are a cult, that you're this. And I've heard something to the effect that Masons, they are everywhere. They control the world, all right, especially America. If you go to Washington, D.C., they control. Have you ever heard that conspiracy?
I wish. I've heard it many times, and I wish we controlled more than we did, because we probably have a better world today if Masons controlled much more of it. Masons don't. Masons believe in free thought. Masons believe in a free society. But Masons are all over. There's no doubt about it. I mean, one of the most famous pictures of George Washington is him in his Masonic garb laying the cornerstone at the dedication of the what you call the White House and at the Capitol building. So yeah, Masonry has a long, strong history in this country and around the world, and we've been involved in a lot. There's no doubt about it, because good men have been involved in a lot of good things, and so we are everywhere. But no, we don't control everything. Lord knows, I wish in many days we did, but we don't. But yes, you'll find Masons everywhere. And as a consequence, that has made, you know, some people uncomfortable, because we have handshakes and we have so-called secret words and we have a brotherhood that unites us. Some people aren't as comfortable with that because they're not part of the same club. And so that's really just the uneasiness of weak-minded individuals in my mind, because although we are selective in membership, If you ask and you come the right way, there are so many lodges in this world that you can be made a member if you so choose. And it's not for everybody, nor will it ever be. But it isn't about running the world, and but yes, there have been some major Masons throughout this history of this country who have been done some very, very important roles, starting from George Washington to Prince Hall to so many others. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. And so as a consequence, some folks can feel a way.
Okay. All right. Now, I want to go turn it over to Gene, one of our panel members, and he's also a member of the Freemasons. Gene? So can we get Gene in here?
Yeah, I'm here. So these are my closing arguments, correct?
Yeah, basically.
All right, great. What's unfortunate about the rules in Freemasonry is that if a candidate is running for office, they can't really come out and say that. It's called electioneering, as opposed to the political world that we live in. I started campaigning back in January, telling everybody I'm running for re-election. So because Kevin can't speak for himself, I'm speaking solely as the Honorable Gene Edwards, District Leader of the 79th Assembly District. I am not speaking as a Mason. Again, let me make it clear. I'm speaking as the Honorable Gene Edwards, District Leader for the 79th Assembly District. Brother Wardalli will be seeking the office of Grand Junior Warden in June at our grand session, and I openly endorse him for that office. And I'm speaking as an elected official, not a Freemason, but I openly endorse Kevin to be the next Grand Junior Warden. And I hope that everyone within the listening office that is part of our institution will get behind him as well. And with that, I'll digress. Thank you for being on the show, Kevin. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, man. Yes. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And thank you, Walt. And thank you, Michelle, for the invite and for your fantastic questions. And thank you for the opportunity to present this honorable and ancient institution that I and so many other brothers have loved.
Yeah. Well, you addressed a lot of questions that I had, Kevin. And I appreciate it. And I'm quite sure our listeners. Okay.
So, Kevin, do you guys have a website that if anyone's interested that they
can
check?
We do. I apologize. I should have mentioned it. www.princehallny.org. That's www.princehall, all one word, princehallny.org. And you can also if you put in Google Prince Hall Masons of New York, it'll also come up that way. But yes, princehallny.org. You can learn about our Grand Master. You can learn about our Grand Lodge. You can find out other lodges that meet throughout the state and some of the initiatives and and good works that we've been a part of.
Okay, that's fantastic. Amen. Fantastic.
All right, I see a brother coming in, LJ. He's late, but he's never late. Thank you all.
Okay.
We have a lot of brothers out there in the audience. Yeah, thank
all
you.
All right, great, great, great. Yo, guys, follow us, please. Follow the Walt Weekly Podcast on all platforms, please. All right.
Yes.
So I'm going to turn it over to you, Michelle. You can take us out.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Walter. And thank you, everyone, our live audience. Thank you to our panel members, Gene Anthony Edwards out of the Bronx, New York. And thank you for listening in. Thank you, brother Kevin. We appreciate you coming on, sharing your story, and sharing the story of Prince Hall, New York. You can follow us at thewaltweekly.com. You can also follow us on IG and Facebook at The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbeam, The Walt Weekly. We can be found on all streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and other streaming platforms where you get your podcasts. So we look forward to next week where we have a first female radio owner, Muta Evans, will be on our Friday Live this week on Friday evening at 6 p.m. Please follow the Walt Weekly for updates. We thank you all again. Kevin, thank you, bless you, and good luck with your temple. Much success to it. And everyone, have a great evening.
Have a great
week.
Thank
Friday.
You. Thank you.
See you Friday night. Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
All right.